now your moderator for Minds Over Matter, Dana Rodriguez.
Yes.
Hi.
I am. Welcome to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely day out there and can spare us an hour of your time because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, that means we're welcoming your participation. We're practically demanding it, but in a nice way. So feel free to settle back and give us an hour of your time, and hopefully you'll give us a call as well with a question or answer. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Yes, that is 415-841-4134. That's the number you hear on every single show on the station. And there's a toll-free number. Yes, it's toll-free. 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. We'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So all we're asking you to do is give us a call, or at least listen. 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Let's see. We're going to start with, I have to tell you about our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MindsOverMatter, 1. And that is the numeral one, not the word one. MindsOverMatter1@gmail.com. Kira thinks it's increasingly musical to her, I think. And also, if you'd like to listen to us online, you can do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org. That is kalw.org. And, of course, the lovely and talented Debbie Kennedy is here tonight, and she will be posting up our podcast. So, of course, it will be done with dispatch and beauty. And that will be at kalw.org and later on iTunes, et cetera, et cetera. So, all that being said, we will start with the round of introductions. And here's the first. Kira Pace is still reeling from last week's revelations, namely that the Undercover Boss premiere was this country's highest-rated television episode in the past decade. I asked that question. Mm-hmm. And that she, Kira Pace, is evidently some sort of evil. Now, that really was not implied, by the way.
Oh, okay.
So you're not some sort of evil.
I'm a very specific sort of evil?
Yes, okay. Yes. That's what okay. I meant to say. All right.
All right. Well, Joshua Cosman is the man you want at your side in a bar fight when the time comes to craft a florid and truly groveling apology.
It's good to know.
And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is willing to take questions from any Latvian, Lithuanian, or Estonian reporters.
None here? Oh, too bad. Okay. We will begin with Kira Pace.
All right. My questions this evening are eclectic. Let's start with this one for Dana. In Howl, Ginsberg refers to saintly motorcyclists. To what actor and what movie is this a reference?
So, well,
wait, I'm not allowed to.
Oh, no, you can get
you
in
said
on
it
this
was
too.
For him.
Yeah.
Saintly motorcyclists?
The saintly motorcyclists.
Well, I don't remember them being saintly, but the only
Marlon
one I can
Brando
think of is
in the
Wild One.
Yeah, that is correct. I'm not sure that he was saintly in the movie, but according to the rest of the line, which I cannot read on the air.
Right. You ever seen that movie?
They were saintly.
Yeah. It's okay. It's not my sort of thing, really. Yeah. Give us another question.
All right.
Another eclectic question.
How about this one? It's not Baltic. It's a little farther down. But Albania's ancient city of Butrint, a UNESCO World Heritage Site, features ruins from four different empires. Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. From four different empires, which ones?
Say it again.
Sure. Albania's ancient city of Butrint, a UNESCO World Heritage Site, features ruins from four different empires. Which ones?
Macedonia.
No.
Oh, Ottoman.
Oddly enough, no. I think they were destroying the buildings. They weren't building them.
Byzantine.
Yes, that is correct.
She asked this question because that's the only country in Europe I haven't visited.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
No.
You've been to Monaco?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I know about Albania? Like, what I know mostly is that it borders on the Adriatic. And I know that thanks to a very special Cheers episode.
Oh, they're supposed to have some of those beautiful beaches in Europe.
Oh, and their chief export is chrome. There we go. Those are the
chrome?
Two things I know.
Oh,
okay.
That's from the...
It is.
Yeah.
And goats.
So, wait, you're saying Macedonia...
the Macedonian Empire, at least they don't
have... Is
that
the Hellenistic, you know, whatever? I mean, the post-Alexandrian, whatever that's called.
None of those names.
No? All right.
So you guessed Macedonian, and I said Ottoman. Those are both wrong. And
right.
I said Byzantine, and that was correct. So there are three other empires?
There are, and all three of them are very... Like, it makes sense based on Albania's geographical location.
Well... And you didn't imply
Rome.
Yes, the Roman Empire.
Yes.
Yes.
You didn't imply these were all ancient empires necessarily, did you?
No, I would not say ancient. In fact, one of them very definitely is not ancient.
Then, and they're all empires, though.
Yes. Although one of them, I guess, maybe doesn't come up in, say, high school civ all that often. But, I mean, but yes, I'd say.
Venetian.
That's the one.
Wow.
Nice pull.
Look at you go.
All right. And Josh was basically on the right track. He's just... some sort of Greek.
Greek.
Yeah. Basically. Well, the Second Athenian Empire. So I'm going to give that to you.
Oh. Well, that's
kinda.
Not the first. The second.
I'll take it, although that's not what I was thinking of.
All right.
Well, that's the highestfalutin question I have for the evening. So.
Right. Was everything gotten on that?
Yeah. You got
all
four.
All right, give us one more question.
Okay. Here we go. What musical artist has released an estimated 450 albums performed in 15 different languages?
Wow.
Right? So many albums.
450. In how many languages?
15.
Boxcar Willie.
No.
Placido Domingo.
That's excellent guess. It's not right. But I think it's a little closer than Boxcar Willie. if I'm comparing the two answers.
But I think, I mean, the language suggests that we're looking for an opera singer, right? Yeah. But 15 languages.
Is this person still alive?
I honestly don't know. I'm sorry. I should have checked. I think so, actually, but I'm not 100%.
Well, not Placido Domingo. You...
Yeah, and not Pavarotti because he didn't sing that many languages.
And did we establish this was a man?
We never did.
No.
Well.
Would you care to establish if it's a man?
Is it a man?
It is not.
Okay. I took the fall.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, someone will know that.
All right, ask the question once more if you would.
Sure. What musical artist has released an estimated 450 albums performed in 15 different languages?
So I guess it wasn't Boxcar Willie.
No.
Or Slim Whitman. And Josh, you go ahead.
All right. I in preparation for my night in the spotlight here, I asked myself this. I said, How many Oscar-winning actors or actresses have duplicated initials, the same first and last name initials? Mm-hmm. And here's what I found. Unless you count Daniel Day-Lewis, there have been no men, zero, who have won Best Actor Oscars, but 10 women.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those can you name?
Marley Matlin.
That's one.
Helen Hunt.
That's two.
And I'll stop there.
Okay.
Those are the ones I would have taken.
Are they really?
Had I thought of them.
I left you the old ones.
That's right.
I left you like the first Oscar winner or whatever, right down there or back there.
I have to go through the list in my head, which takes about an hour. all right, just ask the question again.
All right, we're looking for best Oscar winners for Best Actress with duplicated initials. Kira got Helen Hunt and Marley Matlin. There are eight more.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Big Radul in the Carnell.
Hey, Big Radul.
Okay. What actor appears in the most films on the American Film Institute's greatest 100 American movies?
Ooh. That's a great question.
I almost feel like it's going to be a trick question, like it's going to be a character actor and not a lead. Would that be fair to say, or is it a lead actor?
No, you're right on it. It's definitely a character actor.
Is this person still alive?
No. No.
It isn't Edward Everett Horton, it damn well should be.
Yeah, right. Well, that's not a bad
This person's been, let me think, dead for, well, I think almost 60 years. So.
All right, I'm out.
60 years. 60 years?
And he still has been in the most. That's insane.
Thomas Mitchell.
No.
Thomas Mitchell was the father in Gone with the Wind and all sorts of... Well,
yeah, I don't know.
I can't go through his credits now. Okay. So is this person a name or an obscure person?
No. It's a name. I mean, it's just that he basically was a character actor throughout his career in the movies, and then towards the end... He was the star of a TV show.
A TV show
Walter
that was on...
Walter Brennan.
No.
TV show that was on 60 years ago. If that's how long he's been dead.
Right.
So, like a 1950s TV show, I suppose.
Yeah. Mid-50s.
Maybe, and it, I would guess, probably even a Western TV show.
Yes.
Very good.
See, you're not out. You're back in.
I'm back in. I'm providing assists.
A Western TV show. A star of the Western TV show.
Yes. It's kind of like the first time he was really a star in anything.
I don't know.
Can you name one of the films he was in?
The Searchers.
Okay. John Wayne, Jeffrey Hunter. No, it's not Harry Carey Jr.
No, but you're in... I mean, if it's the Searchers, then it's got to be the John Ford / John Wayne company. So you're getting close.
It's... not Jeffrey Hunter. It's...
How about this? He played football with John Wayne.
Oh, Ward Bond.
Yeah. Yes.
All
and
right.
You care to guess how many?
No, I wouldn't. I'd have to. Yeah, if I looked at the list,
I
could
count,
tell you.
He'd have to count them, and we've
okay.
already.
Well, he was in 7, of which The Searchers was one. And would you like to know the others?
Yeah, go ahead, quick.
It happened one night.
Okay.
Bringing
driver.
Up baby.
Right.
Gone with the Wind.
Soldier.
The Grapes of Wrath, The Maltese Falcon,
wow.
And
Detective.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Right, cop. So, all right.
One other question. I'm on a sort of a John Wayne kick here. When John Wayne's The Searcher was previewed in San Francisco on December 3rd, 1955, it was double billed with what movie?
Oh, that's a tough question. Is it another John Wayne movie?
No.
Tell me the date again.
Pardon me?
The date was what?
December 3rd, 1955.
Hmm. Is it another Warner Brothers movie?
I don't have command of the studios like you do, Dana, so I couldn't say.
It's too tough. There's just too... Hell on Frisco Bay.
Okay, basically, one of the stars pretty much, I think, was only in 3 films.
You mean the star of the other movie?
Yes.
So it was Giant or East of Eden or Rebel Without a Cause is what you're saying?
Rebel Without a Cause.
Good job. Good job on that. All right.
That's it for this
Thanks.
Week.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call, area code 415-841-4134, or toll free 866-798-8255. Our panel tonight, technical editor Kira Pace from the San Francisco Chronicle, their classical music critic Joshua Cosman. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM, that is KALW, your local public radio station. Okay, let me give you a couple questions here. All right. I've asked Simpsons questions the last couple of weeks. So I'll ask
which I have appreciated.
Okay, good.
So great.
Good. Don't speak to me, evil. So I'll give you one more here. This famous TV and movie actor was the first to reject doing a guest spot, as himself on The Simpsons. It was in the first season. This famous TV and movie actor was the first person to reject doing a guest star spot as himself on The Simpsons.
TV and movie, you said?
Yeah.
A
little more famous for TV than movies.
Yeah. I don't know. He's more famous for movies now. I'll say George Clooney.
No.
But that's wrong. Especially first season.
First season is when are we talking about?
88, I think. 88 or 89. It was, they...
It wasn't Tracy Ullman. It was after when it became an independent show.
I think 88, but possibly 89.
Right.
Okay. Huh. Don't look at me.
All right. Okay. So this very famous...
Ask me an opera question.
All right. Yeah. This very famous TV and movie actor was the first to reject doing a guest star spot as himself on The Simpsons. All right. Second question. What are the three most commonly heard announcements in English? What are the three most commonly heard public announcements in English?
This is a test. It is only a test of the emergency broadcast system.
Nope.
That's good.
That's good, but they don't do that as often
as
these.
Mind the gap.
Is it
really?
Oh,
yes, I was just kidding.
I was trying to think of the American version, but he didn't say American. He said English, didn't he?
In English.
Yeah, nice.
Mind the gap is number two, actually.
Well, what about, ladies and gentlemen, please stand clear of the doors.
That is number three. Doors closing. Mind the doors.
All right.
There's a variation on mind the doors, but doors closing is the main one. All right. So, again, the three most commonly heard public announcements in English. We have number two, which is mind the gap. Number three, doors closing. Mind the doors. What is number one?
Don't drink and drive.
No. Mm.
Give a hoot, don't pollute.
Nope. And as I said, what famous TV and movie actor was the first person to reject doing a guest spot as himself on The Simpsons? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, this is Laurie in the Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what about turn off your phone?
Oh, that's good, but no.
Okay, I had Mind the Gap, which doesn't make me angry. Okay, and then I was going to say Theodore Bekel because for the languages, but you said it's a woman.
It is,
right?
Yes.
Okay, so take a wild stab. How about Beverly Sills?
No.
Ooh, good guess, though.
Okay, and then I have a question for you.
Yes. Go.
Because everyone loves to mention Latvia. Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Latvian names, if you're a man, it ends in a consonant, and if you're a woman, it ends in a vowel. Do you know which consonant and which vowel? Your name, the first name.
First name?
Mm-hmm.
So men's
first names
start
and
end with an S.
Consonant.
S.
Yes. And women's first names end in a vowel.
Hmm.
A?
Yeah,
I would guess
A
that
would have been my guess.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Okay, excellent.
Okay.
And then I don't think she won an Oscar, but should have. Frances Farmer?
She should have, but she didn't.
Okay, this is very sad. I don't mean that.
I heard shoot.
Shoot, darn it. Rats. Ick. Okay. Okay. Well, I guess that's it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hi. Chris, formerly of St. Louis, living in Copenhagen.
Hi, Chris. Nice to hear from you again.
Hi. Thanks. We spoke about Mark Leonard last time, and I was thinking some more about him. You know, besides, you know, the actor we're talking about, right?
Right.
Starek.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. You know, besides playing four characters on different episodes of the Hawaii Five-0, the original series, but he also played four characters in Mission Impossible. and which means he was on the screen with Leonard Nimoy in that series also.
That's a very good point.
But then he also played the older brother of another iconic 70s television character. Do you know who that is?
You mean as a regular on the show?
No, single episode.
He strikes me as an older Ricardo Montalban.
No.
So,
and the thing that I thought was interesting was rather than being many years into the future, where he played a family member of Spock, this is many years into the past, where he plays a family member of the star of the show.
It wasn't the Wild Wild West, was it?
No, but it was.
It used to be one of my favorite shows. But it was what? It was a period show?
Yeah.
So would that maybe make it, like, when was Little House on the Prairie 70s?
Yeah. Late 70s, maybe.
She does it every time. I can't remember. Yeah, Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, good
okay.
for you.
Woo!
Oh, well, who did he play, though?
I guess Michael Landon's brother.
Older brother, yeah.
All right.
Good job.
That's
right.
Yay.
All right, so... All right, one other thing now. I found four things on sale online, and out of these four, one doesn't fit, if you understand the game, right?
Sure.
So I'll give you these four items that I found, all real items, all available online, and then I'll read them up to you quickly here, and then see if you can figure out which one doesn't fit with the others. So one is a paperback entitled Armageddon in Prime Time by George Bailey. Another is Blackjack in the Zone, a nonfiction guidebook to counting cards by Rick Blaine. Montessori and Your Child, a primer for parents by Terry Malloy. And a digital music single called Can't Make Friends by Travis Bickle.
Well, what doesn't fit is that all the authors are movie characters.
Right, but he says the one that doesn't fit is Travis Bickle because he's the only one who's in color.
Ooh, that's interesting.
That's good.
I hadn't thought of that, but I mean that also fits, but that wasn't the one
that wasn't
I had.
That wasn't what you had
but
in
you've
mind.
Got, no. So they're all movie characters,
right.
Yes. But what about these characters and the roles that and the let's see, what could we say, the accolades the actors receive?
Oh, I see what you're saying. So, well, wait a minute. No,
what were they again? Armageddon in Prime Time by George Bailey. Blackjack in the Zone by whom?
Rick Blaine.
Well, that's Casablanca. George Bailey is It's a Wonderful Life. Mm-hmm. James
right.
Stewart.
And Terry Malloy is on the one.
Montessori by Terry Malloy. And Can't Make Friends by Travis Bickle.
I don't know.
Oh, well, so...
Montessori?
Oh, no, wait a minute. Hang on. Yeah, I don't know. Go ahead.
Yeah?
Are we looking for something about the roles or the movies they're in?
It was actually the accolades.
Hmm.
Three of the four Oscar winners?
No, one is an Oscar winner, okay. And the other three are not.
Yeah, but
three were nominated but didn't win.
None of them are Oscar winners.
No, Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando wins for
On the Waterfront, so that's the odd person out.
There it is.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Well, so they were all nominated, but only Brando wins.
Only Brando won.
Got it.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for playing.
And Kira, I think it's your turn.
Oh, can I take a quick stab at the your Simpsons question?
Yes.
Might it have been William Shatner?
It is William Shatner. Okay. Yes, very good.
T.J. Hooker himself.
Yes.
Okay.
He's better than that, so he thought. Go ahead.
That's okay. Spot came on for the Monorail episode, and that's all that matters.
That's right.
All right. So Belize is the only Central American country in which English is the official language. What is the only South American country in which English is the official language?
It's Guyana, I think, isn't it?
British Guyana.
That is correct. All right.
All right.
Do you want another one?
Go ahead.
Okay. What occasional architect designed the two sets of buildings that make up one of the United States' UNESCO World Heritage Sites? These buildings are a U.S. university and, a few miles away, a residential estate.
An occasional architect?
Occasional architect.
Thomas Jefferson.
That is correct.
Very good.
Occasional architect.
University of Virginia.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
And then Monticello, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, one more.
All right. Let's do this one. Sorry. As of this past Tuesday, just over 41% of the entirety of the United States is experiencing some level of drought conditions. Two states are 100% in drought, whereas only one state west of the Mississippi River is 100% drought-free. What are these three United States?
Say it again. Two of them are...
Two in the entire United States.
Yeah.
Two of them are 100% in drought. And,
uh-huh. And one of them
only one west of the Mississippi
is undroughted.
Is completely undroughted. What are these states?
Are you talking about the lower 48 or are you talking about Hawaii and Alaska as well?
Yeah, all 50.
Well, Hawaii gets a pretty steady average rainfall. Hawaii is the
undrowned. That is correct.
Well done.
All right.
So where's the heavy-duty drought?
Well, I know Arizona's was having some
trouble. Is that right?
Trouble. Is Arizona?
Arizona's one of the 100 percenters. Yeah.
Wow.
There are several that are within 90%, but...
Jeez.
Yeah, there's a lot of drought.
So is it New Mexico?
No, that one is 98%, 98-99. There's a little teeny piece right by Mexico that is, I guess, okay, drought-free.
Dunno.
There's nothing east of the Mississippi we're talking about here.
It could be, but it's not.
There was a drought in the South for a while.
Yeah, and I think there are some
Georgia,
pieces of that.
Georgia, Atlanta
yeah.
was...
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right, leave it out.
Okay.
All right, repeat the question if you want.
Sure. As of this past Tuesday, just over 41% of the entirety of the United States is experiencing some level of drought conditions. There are two states that are 100% in drought. We already have one of them. That's Arizona. We're looking for the other U.S. state that is 100% in drought.
All right. And Josh, you go ahead.
Okay. I have a quick two-parter, which the first part is easy, and maybe the second part is easy too, but I'm going to ask you to hold off on the first one because I know you know this because we've done this one before, but I just learned the second one. So who are the only U.S. president and the only British prime minister to speak English as a second language?
Oh.
Say that again.
Who's the only U.S. president to speak English as a second language, and who is the only British prime minister to speak English as a second language? I know you know the president. I'm leaving the president for Kira. But maybe I can stump you with the prime minister. And he's looking at me like, no, it takes more than that to stump Dana.
Maybe. I don't know. I got a guess, but I'm not absolutely sure. Go ahead, Kira.
Oh, no. No, I would like Dana to pinch it for me, please. I mean, I would guess that the language is German, but I don't actually know. Or I guess, let's see. One of them was born outside the, or was born on, I can't remember the island now, like in the U.S. Virgin Islands.
No, you're thinking of Hamilton.
Oh, am I?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
That's okay.
No, I thought there was still one that was born on an island somewhere in the
is that
Caribbean.
True?
No? Okay. Then I must have been thinking of Hamilton.
Yeah.
No, I defer to Dana here.
Do you want to say?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, Van Buren.
Yeah.
The Dutch.
Spoke Dutch.
Dutch.
I was close. It was Germanic.
Yep. Who was the British prime minister?
This is just a guess.
Try it.
Is it Disraeli?
What would be his first language? You think he spoke Yiddish in the?
Not Yiddish. You might have. Well, his father had converted, so to is it Protestantism or Catholicism? I don't remember. But his father
had
converted.
Catholicism.
Yeah, you're probably right. So
I didn't know that. I thought he was.
Yeah, and so did Disraeli. Did
no,
as
I didn't
well.
Know that. Huh. Yeah. No, it's not Disraeli.
It's not Disraeli.
No.
Okay. So can you tell me how far back we're going?
No.
Well, can you tell me if it's 20th century?
Nope.
No?
It's just a question for you.
All right. Why don't you repeat the question?
Who was the only British prime minister to speak English as a second language?
Okay. I'll think about that.
Think about it.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Ed. How are you?
Good.
The thing about Egypt. First of all, whether you were a young student, a kid, you know, school kid, soldier, working man or woman, and or even a pharaoh, so your mom made your lunchbox made out of chunk of this and jug of that. That's true. It's really true. Probably how you conquer the whole world. Chunk of this and jug of that.
I may not be following you here.
Oh, you're asking what the chunks... Are you saying chunk or jug?
What's the jug of?
Jug.
Jug. Okay, both of them are jugs?
No, a chunk and a jug.
A chunk and a jug. So you're asking what the chunk and the jug are. Okay.
Is it a jug of wine.
No.
Jug of... maybe honey?
No.
Okay.
Well, close to wine, what would be another thing?
Vinegar.
Beer.
No.
What about beer?
Beer.
Beer. All right.
Great winery in Egypt. What about chunk of what?
Cheese.
No.
Matzah.
More. You know, remember, Egypt have a lot of wheat.
Bread.
Chunk of bread.
Bread and beer.
Yes, all right. Sounds
so
delicious.
What happened when they get headache at the end of the day, they took two aspirins. And where did the Egyptians, 5,000 years ago, get aspirin from?
Where does aspirin come from?
It's the bark of a. It's the bark of a tree, right?
Willow, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, right. Which tree?
Willow, I think, isn't it?
Willow tree. You're right.
Good job.
You're right. Really good for people to know this information because they also treated treated wounds with antibiotics. Where did they get the antibiotic from? If you're foolish and you cut yourself and your wound get infected, so use antibiotic. Where did they get the antibiotic from?
Urine.
No. No, what we get on back from today?
From the mold.
Mold, exactly. Exactly.
That moldy bread that they let sit around.
Bread mold, that's exactly it. And it actually did work, and it did heal the wound. Okay, so also the second question. The ancient Egyptian created the year we use today, whether it's Friday or Monday or Tuesday, a week or a month or a year, using the star, you know, night star. Which one?
Polaris.
Who?
No.
A lot of people say that. But I would say that it is the brightest star.
Oh, is this the trick question again, the sun?
It's Sirius.
Sirius,
the brightest star in the night sky.
Sirius.
That's it. You know, if you read that history, it's just fascinating. You take people like Hypatia or Alexandria, she had all of the orbits of the planets, Mercury, Venus, you know, Earth, and Mars, and Jupiter. They were so advanced. It really puts shame on us right now. It really does. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yes. Okay. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call. Area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. But don't say you have only one question when it's five questions.
Just one question, five parts.
Yeah, one question, five parts. Just say that. And all right, so it's my turn here. Let's see. I found out looking at the etymology of street names in San Francisco that they're just a little something I was doing in bed the other day.
That's what it does.
Yeah, that's one of the things. There are five streets in San Francisco named after battles.
Battles.
Yes, there are five streets in San Francisco that are named after battles. We have the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, and the War of 1812. Battles from those various wars. So what are they? What are the five streets in San Francisco that are named after battles?
Sir Gettysburg?
There is not, and okay. Which is surprising, you know, in a sense. That's the biggest battle of before World War One, but
is there an Antietam?
Antietam? No.
Okay.
I mean, are these?
I mean, they're not. I
are
would,
these streets we've heard of? Like, I'm trying to think. You know, like
I have heard of two of them, not the other three.
That's right.
But they're not major streets.
Clearly,
but you know, they're streets.
But they are reasonably major battles.
Yes, a couple of them are major battles. It's possible the one of 1812 and you may not be that familiar with. I will say that one of them is the same name as a college, if that, I'll give you a hint on that. That's the Revolutionary War battle. Same name as a college.
Is there an Exeter?
Is it Bowdoin right up the street?
It is not Bowdoin, no. But it's a New England college.
Yes.
Okay.
Boy, I don't know.
Okay. There are five streets in San Francisco that are named after battles. And these battles could be from the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, or the War of 1812. So see if you can come up with any of those. And since that's a little in the weeds, I'll give you something else.
Out of the weeds.
Out of the weeds. Who was it that came up with the first sketch of for contact lenses, for sketch idea for contact lenses?
Leonardo da Vinci.
That's correct.
Wow.
1504.
That's great.
Yep. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Oh, hi, this is Nancy from Berkeley.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Okay, I'm going back to the opera singer. So you said it was definitely a woman because I thought it was, what's his name, Bocelli?
Oh, but, Andrea Bocelli? No.
No, but it's a woman. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and you said she was still living.
I said I did not know. I think she is, or at least I know she was like 20 years ago, which I guess probably doesn't mean anything now. I don't know. I'm
okay,
sorry.
Okay. Marilyn Horne?
No.
Joan Sutherland?
Nope.
Okay. Jesse Norman?
No.
Leontine Price?
Nope.
Okay. That's Renee Fleming's too young.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. And we're a little past halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Kira?
All right. What musical artist has released an estimated 450 albums performed in 15 different languages? I'm also looking for one of the two states that is 100% in drought. We already have Arizona. Looking for the other one. And I think that's all I have.
I'm looking for, from the list of 10 women who have won Oscars for Best Actress who have the same first and last initials, two of them have been picked off, Marley Matlin and Helen Hunt. You want to step in and knock a couple more off while we're on the air?
I sure do.
Go ahead.
What about Jennifer Jones?
Jennifer Jones.
Very good.
What about Holly Hunter?
Good.
And what about Sissy Spacek?
All good.
Fantastic.
Now there's only five left.
All right.
But you guys can get them. Also looking for the only British Prime Minister to have spoken English as a second language.
All right. Well, can you tell us if this is in the, within the last 200 years?
Sure.
It is.
It is.
Okay. All right.
Who did I just rule out? Pitt the Younger?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not Pitt the Younger.
Or Pitt the Elder, either.
Well, I'm not guaranteeing that.
Uh-oh.
English. All right, don't lose track. You got to...
Yeah, right. Okay. And let's see. Okay. I had a list of the three most commonly heard announcements in English. I still have that list. But what are the three... So of the three most commonly heard announcements in English, we have two of them so far. One is Mind the Gap, and the others is Doors Closing, Mind the Doors. What is the one that's missing on this list?
Is it Please Tip Your Waitresses?
No.
Okay.
What is the most commonly heard public announcement in English? Okay. And what else did I have? Oh, yes. There are five streets in San Francisco that are named after battles. Five streets in San Francisco that are named after battles. It could be from the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, or the War of 1812. And one of them, I would tell you, let's see. I'll give you as much hint here as I can. One of them is named after a college, or has the same name as a college, and two have the same names as cities. So, there you go.
Yeah.
And Josh?
I'm offended that there's no streets named after battles from the 30 Years' War. What? You want me to ask a question?
No, it's actually... Well, we'll take a call. Then we'll
all
call.
Right. Go.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, this is Fran, San Francisco.
Hi, Fran.
Hi. I'm going to guess, I don't know if she won at Barbara Belgetti's.
Oh, good guess, but no, she did not win.
No, what am I giving you a bell for? Sorry.
Oh, I'll take the... Well, thank you.
Yes.
There you go.
I'm going to get a bell for something. Vicksburg, no?
Yes.
Yes. Well, I have never seen it.
That's one of the few that I've seen.
I've seen that. Yeah. I can't remember where it is, but I know I've passed it.
Yeah, I don't think it's that far from here, actually. It's down, like, between here and Twin Peaks someplace. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to look it up.
Okay, well, I did get a bell for that.
Well done.
Good job.
I have a great question, I hope. This was one of the biggest concerts ever. The quote is, "The biggest show business event in history," folks said. It is not Beatles. It is not Woodstock. They sang 20 songs, 90 minutes, and there were 500,000 people. The year is 1981. It was, as I say, people said it was the biggest show business event in history.
The who?
The biggest event, and the Who. You said the Who?
Yes.
No, it isn't the Who.
Okay.
Was this a concert given for somebody?
No.
Oh, nice.
Okay. I was thinking maybe the Pope or something like that. You know.
Oh, I thought you meant like a benefit concert. Which
right.
Oh, it was not a benefit concert.
Yeah,
no.
Biafra. Or,
right. No, it's 1981. I'll give you a hint if you don't get it.
Yeah.
Well, we're not getting it, so give us a hint.
Where was it?
On the Great Lawn.
Oh, in Central Park?
Yes.
Oh, Simon and Garfunkel?
Yes, it was Simon and Garfunkel.
All right.
Okay.
Yes, there were 500,000 people. They sang 90 minutes, 20 songs.
Wow.
Do you know what's embarrassing?
What?
Is I was actually listening to that concert on the way here to the studio. It still did not occur to me.
Were you really? That's,
I
that's
really
very,
was.
That's very interesting. Okay, so I do not have 5 questions. I'm going to give you one more. I have 3 people, women, who were living real people with the last name of Ross, 3 women that are famous. One is a writer, a designer, and a singer. Can you do it?
Well, Busty Ross, of course.
Who?
Did you say Ross?
Busty, not Busty.
Did you say Ross double S or R-O-T-H?
Ross.
R-O-S-S. Well, yeah, so Diana Ross.
Diana, right.
Lillian Ross.
Lillian Ross, yes.
No, that's Lillian Roth.
No, it isn't. It's Lillian Ross.
Oh, Ross. Oh, the writer.
The writer.
Oh, okay.
Ross.
Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And Betsy Ross is the seamstress.
Betsy Ross. You got them all. Yes.
Yes.
You did.
Good job.
They're the Ross trio.
Well, there may be more. The only 3 I know are
they're
the ones.
They're the important ones. That you got them.
Yeah, you did. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Now, Carrie, it is your turn.
All right. How about this? Many TV theme songs are notable and memorable, but only 4 have ever topped the Billboard Hot 100 list. What are they?
Well, is Hawaii 5-0 one? The Ventures?
No, it's not.
Topped the... My first thought is one that I feel like probably charted but probably didn't top it, which is... the Friends theme.
Yeah, that one was a weird case because it started off as the B-side of another single.
Oh, yeah.
So that it was released twice, so basically it never hit the top.
Oh, okay, all right. So not that then.
Were these instrumentals or did they add words? No.
It's both.
Both?
Mm-hmm. I got some of both.
How about, I mean, I have to say I'm embarrassingly ignorant about MASH, the TV show, but I'm wondering about Suicide is Painless.
Nope.
Was that a...
No, not a.
It was a single from the movie.
It was.
Can you tell us what genre these shows were?
A couple action procedurals, one teen drama, and then one sitcom. The ones I have, I actually think that I may have this wrong. There might be a 5th one that is pretty far back, but the ones I have. 2 are from 76, 1 is from 85, and 1 is from 92.
I know the 85. Yeah, I mean, Hill Street Blues, the theme from Hill Street Blues,
no.
Mike Post, was a big hit.
Not number one. No.
Not number one?
Mm-mm.
70s.
Yeah, so a couple 70s.
American Style.
No. I think they should have released the Law and Order, you know, ba-bum. That would have been, like, right there. Put it on a disc.
All right. I have to think about it. Ask again, would you do it?
Yeah, sure. Many TV theme songs are notable and memorable, but only four have ever topped the Billboard Hot 100 list. What are they? And Friends, by the way, did top the radio airplay list, just never the
what's
Hot 100.
It's the Mondays or the what's the name of the band?
The Rembrandts.
The Rembrandts.
I'll be there for you.
Okay.
And Josh, you go ahead too.
Sure. All right. I have some surnames of famous people, and I want you to tell me, based on this very flimsy evidence, what it's likely that their ancestors did for a living.
Okay.
I've got seven of them, all right? Chandler, Cooper, Fletcher, Jagger, Sawyer, Travers, and Wainwright. So what are these – what occupation do these names designate?
This Chandler, has come up before.
I didn't say it was an original question. I just said it was a question. Chandler, Cooper, Fletcher, Jagger, Sawyer, Travers, and Wainwright. What do those people do for a living?
A ship's Chandler, something to do with, I can't remember if it's rigging, rope, candles, something like that.
I think a ship's Chandler is different from an on-land Chandler, so maybe that was a bad choice on my part. I mean, a Chandler is someone who makes and sells candles.
Yeah, all right.
But you're right, a ship's Chandler is something else.
I think they work with rope, something to do
something
with
that
rope.
May be. All right.
A Fletcher is they make arrows or bows and arrows.
Yeah, arrows is correct.
They feather the arrows.
Feather
right?
the arrows.
I think they make the actual arrows.
Yeah, I think so.
Now the interesting one on there, and this is just a guess because I don't know if this comes from the German or not. It's Jagger, which is somebody who holds your gun when you hunt or shoot game.
Huh.
Is somebody who takes care of your guns or is a hunting assistant.
This is a bad example. I mean, it really just means hunter in German. And I'd forgotten that because the source where I found this said it's a fish peddler, which is kind of bogus.
Oh.
So maybe they got it wrong.
I'm just saying it sounds pronounced the same.
Yeah.
So it's a Russian word.
Yeah.
Cooper's the barrel maker.
Cooper is a barrel maker, right? All right. So leaving out for the other folks, Sawyer, S-A-W-Y-E-R, like Tom or Diane, Travers, like P.L., the author of Mary Poppins, and Wainwright, like Loudon or
Rufus.
Rufus, thank you. That's his name.
All right.
What do those people do for a living?
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? Hello? All right, next call.
Yeah,
hi, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Greg in Alameda.
Hi, Greg.
For the Academy Award winning actresses with the double initials, did you get Helen Hayes?
No, well done.
Very good.
Okay, and then I have one. How about Greer Garson?
Yes, nice.
Yeah, those are the only two I know. And then, you know the songs that hit number one on the Billboard charts?
Yeah.
I think one was from this terrible show, but it was called, Talk to an Angel, something like that.
That's the song. Do you remember? Yeah, How Do You Talk to an Angel?
How Do You Talk to an Angel? Yeah. That's it, yeah. And it was...
what was the fake... Yeah, what's the fake band that recorded that song?
Oh, it was the same name as the show, right?
Yep, uh-huh. Mm. And I think you're thinking of Jamie Walters.
Jamie Walters.
Right? Yeah, who beat up Donna in 90210.
It was called The Heights.
There you are.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. Fun show.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So the Monkees is not on there, is it?
No. It's a good song, but no.
Yeah. All right. And, it's my turn. Let me see if I have something short here. I really don't. Give me a second while I think this through. All right, let's go to calls. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter. I live in Glen Park, not far from Vicksburg Street.
Oh, very good.
And let's see, other battle streets. I think there's a Saratoga Street.
No. I mean, I'm not saying there's not a Saratoga Street. I'm just saying supposedly it was not named after the battle. Anyway, that's all I...
All right. How about Erie?
Erie?
Battle of Lake Erie?
No, I think that was named after the canal.
Oh, all right. How about Quebec?
No, I think that was named after Quebec.
All right. Let's go to names. Ships Chandler originally sold candles to wooden ships.
Oh, okay.
And expanded into other ship gear, but was originally selling candles.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Sawyer is one who saws wood, a carpenter.
Mm-hmm, right.
And Wainwright is one who builds wains or wagons.
Well done.
And let's see. The number one public announcement. I wish it was dinner is served.
Nor do I, but no.
How about in the event of fire, walk, do not run to the nearest exit?
Ooh.
No. It's something we all hear most days. Well, you know, if you leave your house. So.
Rules me
all
out.
Right.
All right.
And I have a question.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And this is a question that calls for an opinion. There's no correct answer.
What? All right. Where's he?
Well, I want your guys' opinion.
All right.
In the realm of film directors, there are some whose work is so unique and has such a strong sense of who they are that their names can become adjectives.
Oh.
For instance, Hitchcock can be—you can call a situation Hitchcockian,
mm-hmm.
right?
Or a story Capra-esque.
Right.
Very, very good. Good question.
What other film directors rate that?
Oh, I thought you were going to start with Fellini-esque.
Well, there's a good one.
Yeah.
That's good. How about Kubrick? No?
Mm. I've heard Kubrickian, so...
Really?
Yeah, I really have.
Huh.
All right.
Capra,
let's see.
Capra's good. Capra-esque.
Yeah.
You know...
Fordian? No. Huh.
I like Spielbergian.
That's, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if that was being said occasionally.
I know that Cambridge University has a chair of Lucasian philosophy, but I don't think that's named
after Lubitsch. How about Lubitsch?
Lubitschian?
Well, you know, they just talked about the Lubitsch touch, so maybe there's some variation on that. All right, so you're just kind of asking. You're not really.
No right answers.
No,
just one your
I think
idea.
I'm gonna rest on my laurels with
Kubrickian.
No, that's you.
No, I didn't say
you
that.
You said Kubrickian.
No, you did. I
said Kubrickian.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right.
She, I merely
she
agreed.
Oh, I beg your
she
pardon.
Clarified.
No, I said Fellini-esque.
All right, yeah. All right, we'll leave it out and see if anybody has any ideas.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Did somebody say Fellini-esque?
Yes, Josh did, I believe.
Oh. Mm-hmm. How about Dali-esque?
Oh, interesting.
Well, he's not really a film director.
Well, the stuff he did with Buñuel.
He did direct some parts of some films.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, right. I guess he's good not enough. Really known as a film director. I just wanted to get him dealt because I don't think I will for stuff like that.
All right. At least you're naked in your wishes.
The street's named after battles. How about Lexington?
Not Lexington.
No. How about New Orleans?
Not New Orleans.
How about Manassas?
No.
I figured that was somewhere in the Castro.
Is there a Manassas?
Let's see. Bennington?
Yes. Bennington. Nice. That's the Revolutionary War and the college. Good job.
Some of the first and last initials for the Oscars. How about Germaine Greer?
No.
No. Greta Garbo?
No. Good guess, but she never won an Oscar.
Rosalind Russell.
She also never won, but she should have.
Damn it. Music for the... you said it was an opera singer, correct? Or did you not say that?
Well, we deduced that and she never denied it.
So it's not Susie Quattro.
It's not, no.
Okay. Did you get Travers?
No. Tell me about Travers or Travers.
I took a wild guess that it was either a bridge builder or a toll taker.
It's a toll taker. Good. Well done.
Very good.
That I thought was that was brand new information to me, but I thought that is so cool. It's really deducible. And you deduced it.
And I deduced it.
Yep.
Deductible. The TV theme is about Greatest American Hero.
See, I would
That's
have thought so too.
That's a good guess.
No, it's not.
A big song.
It was a great song.
Welcome back, Cotter.
There it is.
Oh, of course.
That's the sitcom.
John Sebastian.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh.
Taxi?
Oh, that's a good guess. No.
Yeah.
So we have one from 76 still and one from 1985.
Supertrain?
No.
I got a couple questions. I guess so the Wild One, which you referenced before, was based on events in what city?
It was based on events.
Yeah, it was somewhere south of here, like... Fresno or Gilroy or something.
Gilroy?
You're close with Gilroy.
Watsonville.
A little further south. A little further east.
Modesto.
Not as far east.
Now you're really asking for serious, fine-grained geographical knowledge. We don't know.
Hollister, we'll get it.
Hollister, all right.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
And then since Halloween's coming up eventually, I'll...
yes, coming up.
John Carpenter's Halloween, the mask they used for the Michael Myers.
That was
William Shatner. Yeah.
God. That's not what I was going to ask.
That's one of the great unasked questions, generally.
Did you say how much it cost?
I heard it cost $1.49.
I was going to say that I thought they got it from a dollar store, so.
Yeah. Right.
Good job.
Great show.
All right, thank
you're
you.
All the best. Bye.
Thanks.
All right, more call.
Wait a minute, before we do that, I want to say. The prime minister who spoke English as a second language, what was his first language? Address it that way. That's how you get into this. What was his first language?
Well, I knew his first language. I knew who it was.
Well, what could it have been? It wasn't
French?
Latvian.
Was it
wasn't
French?
No.
Okay, German would be the other guess I had.
No.
Okay.
Wasn't French. Wasn't German.
Oh, well, let's see. Oh, okay.
See?
What about another, like a Celtic language or...
Like what?
Okay. Let's try Scots first.
No.
Some sort of Irish.
No.
Okay. What other Celtic languages are there?
I don't think it's a... I'm not sure it's a Celtic. I forget
Welsh.
If it's a Celtic language.
Welsh.
All right. Welsh is correct.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
We only have 2 minutes,
right,
so I guess we're
going
up. I'm sorry if there's a call on the line. Kira, let's clean up.
Here all right. So the other state that is 100% in drought right now is Utah. The other theme songs that have hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100, that's SWAT from 1976 and Miami Vice, 1985.
Oh, of course. Oh, right.
And finally, the musical artist who has released an estimated 450 albums performed in 15 different languages, that's Nina Mouskouri.
You know, I was thinking of something like,
like
that. All right.
British Prime Minister whose first language was Welsh. Was Welsh.
Oh, David Lloyd George.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
And
that's not Celtic.
No, I know. Alliterative Oscar winners, Claudette Colbert, Simone Signoret, and Susan Sarandon.
All right. Is that it?
That's all.
Okay. Let's see. The five streets in San Francisco named after battles, Bennington, Chattanooga, Fair Oaks, Lundy's Lane, and Vicksburg.
Sure.
The most commonly heard announcement in English, public announcement, wait. Don't you hear that every time you go you at the corner you press the button that says
wait.
I don't press the button. I just walk.
You just walk. Okay. anyway, if we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember the Minds Upper Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. My great thanks to our panel tonight, Kira Pace, technical editor, and Joshua Cosman from the San Francisco Chronicle, who's Jack Klosky Music Group. Thank you, Josh. I'm been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks, of course, to Debbie Kennedy and Steve Wilcock for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great week, everybody. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday. Take care. Bye-bye.